right. Like I said, today is Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is a time in which we say thank you to all the mothers and special women in our lives who have made us better than what we were. Amen. God chose to send every one of us into this world through a mother. Anybody came in any other way? Okay, we at least agree on that. So we came into this world owing a debt to someone who paid a sacrifice for us to be born. And then God placed little girls, young ladies, and women in our lives who touched us in very special ways. And to them all, we can say thank you. Now, if you have been blessed by at least one woman, say amen. Amen. If you've been blessed by at least two women, say hallelujah. If it's been three or more, say praise God. All right. Sound like we's a church that's pro-women this morning, all right? When God created women, God did so with a plan of excellence in mind. I want every woman, every girl here to say, I am a work of excellence. Say it so that we all can hear you. All right. Now, one of the great tragedies in the world today has been the failure to recognize that when God created the woman, God was creating excellence as a gift to the rest of creation. Now, I want you to use your imagination with me for a moment. Imagine for a moment if you had a beautiful picture in your home that was worth well over $100,000 because of the artist who had painted it. It was a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. The artist had put excellence in every stroke of his work. The colors were amazing. The depth perception, unbelievable. It was the final work of this artist who was killed in a car accident. And you knew that this painting was going to continue to increase in value. And you gave it a place of honor in your home. And then one day you come home and you notice the lock on the door is broken. And petty thieves and thugs have broken into your home and they've stole several electronic items and other items, and the painting is gone as well. You report the item stolen to the police, and fortunately for you, you had marked the items and numbered them. A few weeks later, the police call you and inform you that several of the items that you reported stolen had been showing up at a local flea market. And you go out in the rain in search of the painting, hoping against hope that it might show up at this flea market. You look and you look and you look, and finally you see over there, there's a frame that looked like the frame of the picture, and it's sitting in some mud in the rain with about five other pictures that you could purchase at any Salvation Army store for about $10. And you see there is your picture in that frame, but now it's torn, and it's obvious that whoever had it did little to protect it. There's a shoe mark on the front of it where somebody stepped on it. There's a hole in the back of it where somebody poked something through the back of it. And there's a rip across the bottom of where it caught something sharp and torn. And as you see this magnificent piece of art laying there among cheap imitations, battered and bruised, what kind of thoughts go through your mind? Are you angry at what has been done to the picture? Are you angry at those who stole it and felt it was theirs to do as they please? Do you feel sorry for the person who's trying to sell it, who doesn't realize what a masterpiece they have, no understanding of its true value? Or are you simply grateful that you found it and you will have the opportunity to restore it to its former position of excellence? Saints, when it comes to the beautiful painting that we call women, far too often we have hijacked them for our own purposes, failed to realize their true value, and injured them in ways that have left them feeling stepped upon, wounded, stabbed, and torn in various places. If you are a woman here today and you have any of these feelings, I want you to know that there is a God who created you, who has been searching for you, who is willing to heal you, to mend you, to put you back together again and restore the glory of excellence that he intended for you to have. You see, when you read the Gospels, you discover that Jesus had a special place in his heart for women who felt they were being used and trampled upon. You know something? God intends to use each of us here to assist in the process of undoing the damage that we have unknowingly caused. For when God created Eve, she was created with the intention of bringing excellence into the world. Without the presence of the woman as a separate identity from humankind, even though all was perfect in the world, God was still able to say, something here is not good. There was Adam, the perfect man, and yet he was missing something that was good, something that could empower him with excellence. And the good that was missing was Eve. For Eve had been created for glory and honor, and her mission was to move things from being good to being excellent. There was something special about woman from the very beginning of creation. And Adam knew this instinctively, that he was to honor this woman. In Hebrew, the word for man is ish, and the word for woman is isha. And when Adam saw Eve, he knew to call her isha, because she had come forth out of him and was to be on his level and was to give honor to her. And that same honor has been due to all of Eve's descendants, because every woman has been created for glory and honor to bring about excellence. And I want you to know, women, there is a beauty all about yourself as a woman, because you were created in God's image with the intention of bringing good into the lives of others. Now, we live in a day in which the glory of the woman has been hijacked by the advertisement industry. And she has been reduced to the role of being a sexual object by which we sell everything from soap, deodorant, to cars. But do you notice that the Bible doesn't give us any idea of what Eve looked like? We don't know if she was tall, if she was short, if she was somewhere in between. We don't know if she was wide, if she was thin, if she was heavy, if she looked like a Coke bottle. We don't know if she was dark, if she was pale, if she had long hair, short hair, kinky hair, straight hair. We don't know any of that. We don't know what her nose was like, her lips, how they were formed. We may get caught up on all of that, but God does not. Because Eve's glory was to be defined by whom she was as a total person and not simply her physical appearance. Eve was beautiful because of whom God had made her to be. And she brought into the world a new world of personal relationships that it had not known before. God created her with the ability to build good relationships. I don't know what it is about you as women. Most of y'all know when something has gone wrong in a relationship about 3 days before we as men find out that there is a problem. There was no need for too many amens on that particular point, but it is true. When God created Eve, he had a larger purpose for her than simply being a sexual partner for Adam. And you'll often hear preachers stress that God created Eve to be a helpmeet, and that's why she should somehow be subordinate to men. She's there to be a helpmeet. But that's not quite true to the text. Now, the King James Version uses the word helpmeet. The NIV uses the word help her. But the Hebrew word simply means help. And it is found in Psalm 33:20, where it says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Being help doesn't mean you're beneath anyone. At times you may be the stronger one. At times you may be the weaker one. Sometimes you may be on the exact same level. The scripture says Eve was suitable for Adam. That means she could rise to whatever level of help Adam needed in a given situation. And I think a more accurate description of what God created Eve to do than the word help is the word empower. Women have a great ability to empower and inspire others to rise above where they are. How many of you have been empowered by another woman somewhere in your life in which you rose up beyond what you thought you could do? God created women in such a way for her to be a help and empower in many different ways and situations. And I don't want you to think for a moment that a woman has to be married to be an empowerer. Even if there is not an Adam in a woman's life, that does not reduce her honor and her glory for which God created her for, because she is still empowered for excellence. Sometimes she needs to empower other women. Sometimes she needs to empower children. Sometimes she needs to empower situations. Sometimes she needs to empower the church. Where would the church be if it wasn't for all of you women here today? Amen. Now, the first commandment I found given to us all concerning women is found in Exodus, and it is the fifth of the Ten Commandments, in which it says, we are to honor our mother. It is repeated again in the New Testament, and on a couple of occasions, Jesus got really upset when the Pharisees, when they found a way to try to get around this commandment. Now, what does it mean to honor? To honor means to treat with respect, to look with favor upon, to do good, to look out for, to be a blessing, and to lift up. Now, the interesting thing about being a Christian is that we are commanded to do certain things without waiting for the other person to do something to deserve it. Amen? We don't wait for our mothers to deserve to be honored. We honor them because they are our mothers, because God says this is what we are to do. Here is God's will for us toward our mothers and toward women. For some of us, I know it may be a lot more difficult for us than for others, but this commandment is just as much a benefit for our own well-being as it is for our parents. For at the heart of it is a willingness to forgive mothers for the mistakes they have made and may be making, and the chance to bless our mothers for whatever good they have done, be it small or great. Is there anybody here who has not needed any forgiveness in their life? No matter what we say about our mothers, without them, how many of you know the good we have done will have never been done? Now, men, let me speak with us for just a moment. How do we honor women? We honor them by recognizing that all women are special and deserve our respect. Now, there are going to be some times when they may not act like it, they may not dress like it, they may not look like it, but as men of God, we are still called to look upon all women as Jesus Christ sees them. She may be presenting herself as a sex symbol, but we are still called to a higher level and see her for one for whom Christ died and wants to change. Not simply as merely objects for our sexual desires, but as God's precious gifts that can be a tremendous blessing in our lives. We also do it by recognizing that God created women to be just as smart, and occasionally at times even smarter than we are. Occasionally, I said. We honor them by valuing their opinions, realizing that our way may not be the best way to proceed. We honor them by being careful in the tone we talk to them. I don't know what the Holy Spirit caught me as I said that one. But we do must recognize the tone in which we speak. After 30 years of marriage, I thought my tone would always be sweet, loving, and all those wonderful things. Fortunately, my wife brings me down to reality to let me know you did not say that like you ought to have said that. So it's something we keep on working on. We honor them by the names we call them. We honor them by standing by their side. We honor them by admitting when we are wrong and apologizing when we should apologize. We honor them by doing the little things that are important to them. We honor them by not asking them to do things they don't feel comfortable doing. We honor them by lifting them up before others, by offering encouragement and support, by saying thank you and being thankful to whatever vows we have made to them. We honor them by accepting them as Jesus accepts us. We honor them by being as much like Jesus Christ as we possibly be. Young people, how do you honor your mother or your grandmother or the woman in your life? You honor them by doing what is right. Proverbs 29:15 tells us that a child who does whatever he or she wants to do brings disgrace to his or her mother. You honor your mother by the way you behave in school. Your mother should not have to be coming to school because of your behavior in class. You already know how to respect your teachers. You already know how to do your work. Why bring pain and heartache to your mother by not doing your part at school? You honor your mother by doing what she asks you to do at home. She does need your help, and you should be willing to help just as often as you're willing to eat, sleep in a bed, or ask for something. You have the potential to be a great blessing to your mother by the way you behave and the way you speak to her. You honor her by speaking to her with respect. We men, we're not the only one that have a problem with attitude in our the way we say stuff. You remember, she's the adult and you are the child. You honor her by sharing some of the struggles you are having and some of the things going and sharing some of the things going in your lives. You know, most mothers really want to help you. They are not just trying to get into your business. Because once you mess up, you're going to bring them into your business a lot quicker than they wanted to get in it in the first place. You honor her by being trustworthy. You go where you say you're going to go, and you leave when you know things are going in the wrong direction. You listen to the advice she has to offer you, and you admit you really don't know everything about life at 13. You honor her by recognizing she is the one who is often going to have to pay a great price for the bad and wrong mistakes you make in life. Before you do something by taking a chance, ask the question, when something here goes wrong, what will be the price my mother will have to pay? I heard a testimony of a young man grew up in the church here, and we was at his mother's party. And speaking to his mother, speaking about his mother, he says, you know, Mom, one of the things that I would do whenever I was tempted to do something I knew I was not supposed to do, I asked the question, how is this going to hurt my mother? And because I didn't want to hurt you, I didn't do what it was I wanted to do. You honor her by saying yes to the will of God for your life. You see, Satan is intent on making sure that you do not succeed in life. And even though you may not understand why she's trying to be so strict with this and strict with that, she's just trying to help you get through some of the most difficult years in your life, get you with an education without you having some little child walking behind you calling you mommy and daddy. Moving on to young adults and even middle-aged adults, how do you honor your mother? You do it by recognizing now is the time that I should be giving back even more for all that she has done for me. If you still living at home and you got a job, how many of you know you ought to be paying rent to her just like you paying to any landlord? And you honor her by paying the rent before you go buy a car you cannot afford and say, I would give you something if I had it to give, but I ain't got it. You do it before you buy that huge sound system that we can hear clear out in Lorraine. Before you go get that wardrobe where you just so decked out, just as broke as you want to be, but you sure are decked out. And even if she doesn't ask you for rent, you ought to offer it to her because it's the right thing to do. If she wants to give it back to you, that ought to be her decision, not yours. Now, you know it costs money to live somewhere else and to eat somebody's food. You go move in with somebody and don't pay them for it. See how quickly you'll be moving back out again. To honor your mother is giving to mom what you would have willingly given to strangers in terms of your support. Romans 13:8 says, give everyone what you owe him. Now, if you're living at home and you don't have a job, there's no use you feeling bad about not being able to pay any rent. You ain't got any money. But to honor your parents or your mother, you doing the housework. Mom, don't you touch them dishes. I got that. You've been working all day. I got that. You honor them by cutting the grass, shoveling the snow, doing the ironing, and not sitting around somebody. You got to give me something for doing that? She already gave you something for doing that. You honor her by recognizing your children are your children, and they are your primary responsibility. Sure, mom may be a help, but you just don't drop the kids off at the house and sneak out the back door and drive off. She may have some plans for herself. She loves those grandchildren, but she wasn't called to be their mother or their father. That's your job. If your plans include doing something that includes her, you ought to let her know about it as soon as possible. You know, you ain't doing nothing but just sitting home. How many of you know it's a blessing to just be able to sit home and do nothing? All them years you've been working, that is a gift. You ain't praying, oh God, send me some work. You thank God. Got a moment to relax to myself. We got some grandmothers in this church. Sometimes she may need some financial assistance from you. Don't embarrass her for making her ask you for it. When you see she's struggling, or if she tells you once, you know, it really was a struggle making ends meet this month, that ain't a time for you to say, well, I'll be praying for you next month. That's a time for you to realign your budget to say, now how can I put mom in my budget so I can send something to her each month? She did it for me for 18 years or even more. Now women, you are created for glory and for honor. But there comes a time when you must choose to honor yourself. There are many who are looking at you for only what they can get. You got to set some boundaries for your life. You have got to choose not to be abused or misused. You have to choose to have the respect and admiration for yourself that Jesus has for you. Sometimes that means saying no to demands that others would place on your life. Sometimes that means you need to get out of some relationships that you are in. Now, ladies, we as men, we trying to live as holy as we possibly can. We need your help. We need your help when we come to the church to keep our eyes on the Lord. But when you come in here and you got a dress on so tight, every man is just, praise God, praise God. Don't let me look over there. Or you come in here and you showing us every curve. Let me tell you, the average man's mind thinks about sex, oh, probably, yeah, more times in 5 minutes than I'm going to tell you. All the other time we're thinking about Jesus. But we want to keep our focus on Jesus. But when y'all come in here and y'all got y'all's breasts and they're like right up here, one of our young people said, you need to say something to so-and-so because I ain't quite that holy yet. So ladies, help each other out and say, you know, sister, that might be a little bit more revealing than need to be. Respect yourself and help us to respect you. We're trying to walk through this thing together, okay? This is not the fashion place. As a Christian, no matter whether you're in the church, out the church, you ought to be an example of the glory that God created you to be. Please, don't wear any of them little sticking stockings, they almost look like pantyhose, into the church. You ought not to be wearing them out on the street. Don't take them out the house, Pastor Toby said. Praise God. They got to keep them in the bath. Pastor Toby said, display them in the bathroom. Look at yourself all you want to in the bathroom. Ooh, I got that. Ooh, I got that. Now let me put on some clothes so I can go on out of here. Praise God. Y'all done got me lost in my sermon. There also comes a time when you have to let others pay for the choices they make with their lives. God did not tell you to get three jobs in order to get a lawyer to help your child who's been arrested for selling drugs when you told him 15 times, boy, you need to stop doing what you're doing. Stop doing what you're doing. You need to tell them if you're going to keep on doing it, you better put some money in the bank now so you can afford a lawyer when they catch you. Don't spend it all now. I watched one of my aunts. Oh, loved her dearly. Her son, my cousin, he got caught up with his little group hanging out on the corner in New York City. They got mad at this guy, robbed him, shot, killed him. He got 25 to 30 years in prison. And my aunt, I watched her all them years working two jobs to pay for lawyer, trying to appeal. After 25 years, he came home, but all that money she spent wasted. Her life, she didn't enjoy life as God intended for her to enjoy it. You honor and you respect yourself by standing up for your children when they are right and letting them know when they are wrong. Don't go down to the school, what y'all done did to my child? When they tell you your child cussed out the teacher, what did the teacher do? I don't care what the teacher did. Your child ain't got no business cussing out the teacher. Come here to church. Nobody better not say nothing to my child. Well, if you don't want me to say nothing to him, there's First Central. There's Holy Ghost Tabernacle. There's Third Baptist, 15th Presbyterian, and Fire Baptized, Holiness Filled, everything else church to go to. The Bible says, do not stand up for a bad cause. When somebody is wrong, even if we love them, they're just wrong. You honor yourself by showing that you are a person of incredible value. And if a man wants to have all of you, you need to have all of him. Which means there is a marriage certificate over there on the wall with both of your names on it. Shacking up is not an option for us as Christians. And for us as believers, when are we going to stop saying, well, you know, we just gonna move in together to save money on the rent? Move back home and save money on the rent. If you're that desperate, Pastor Toby and I'll put you up. We gotta charge you rent, but we gonna put you up if that'll get you to the wedding date. living together doesn't prepare you for marriage. It prepares you for divorce. Because you come together on the premise, the moment you do something I don't like, I'm out of here. Marriage is a commitment that when that bad thing happens, we're going to try to work this thing out. Now, Pastor Toby and I will be celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary in August. She has been tremendous as a wife. Marry her 15 times over again. But there have been many a struggle. There have been many a times when we said, this marriage is over. We got to start a new one. And so we just let that one fall to pieces and we start a new one. We haven't been married 30 years of perfect, happy bliss. We got a year, and we had 3 good ones, and we had 10 years. They just keep adding up to 30. And we keep going on. You are not going to find the perfect person. There is no perfect person. And if there was, and you married him, do you realize how antagonizing that would be? Because when they tell you, you haven't been doing this, you haven't been doing that, you haven't been doing that, first thing you want to say is, you ain't perfect either. You is perfect. You don't want to be married to that person. It's about being what you need to be and keep letting God change you. So do the process the right way with God's grace and favor upon your relationship, because we all need some help now and then. You honor yourself by doing all you can to build up your home with words of encouragement and to support everybody in the house. You honor yourself when you strive to be the woman God has called you to be to everybody that you meet. The real key to your joy is the relationship you're going to share with Jesus Christ. You see, no one wants you to be more complete and rewarded than Jesus does. God created you for glory, to bring about excellence. No woman is perfect, but you are a work of excellence. Be willing to accept the place that Christ has for you. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was dying for all of us to receive what God has for us. And he knew that any one of us who insist on having our own way was just going to cause havoc for ourselves and everybody else around us. That's why God wants to change each of our natures, to make each of us what we can be in life. Saints, we all need the presence of Jesus in our lives. Women, if you're missing that on this Mother's Day, let it be the last Mother's Day that you feel that way. God has a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. Together we can all say, I am a work of excellence. I am a work of excellence.